You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey. What's up, LZ? Sedano and LZ with you at 710 ESPN. ¿Qué pasa?
Hola. Look at me, I'm bilingual.
Yeah, look at you.
Not really.
Now,
what
I
learned? Would you like to learn during COVID?
What'd you learn?
I learned, George, that it wasn't that I was too busy to learn Spanish. It's that I wasn't disciplined enough to learn Spanish. During COVID, you can no longer say, oh, I'm too busy to do this or do that. No, you find out who you are during COVID. And I found out I'm not disciplined enough to learn Spanish right now. That's what I found out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's
I'm disappointed in myself, actually, because I really wanted to believe it was my schedule. But no, I'm just a lazy ass. And COVID has revealed that to me.
Right. Right.
Well done, COVID.
Now, before we get started on the basketball stuff, because I do want to talk about this LeBron Kyrie thing, because this all of a sudden got juicy. But you had a great conversation. We had a great conversation going before the show started during the break. Would you like to relay it to everyone?
Oh, well, sure.
About Christmas music.
I don't want to put, you know, our boy Jorge on blast, but I guess, you know, you want me to. I was just scrolling through the Billboard Hot 100 and noticed that All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey is currently number 2 in the charts. And last year hit number 1. Feliz Navidad, which is one of my favorite Christmas songs, has never even cracked the top 10. So my question to you, George, as well as the rest of the crew and listeners, do you believe that All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah is a better song than Feliz Navidad?
No, I don't. But I do think that's generational, you know. But I don't think – like, I think All I Want for Christmas is a cute little song. Feliz Navidad is a traditional song is what the way I would describe it.
So you think Jose is a little too traditional for today's audience?
I mean, I could see where, like, I think that if you grew up in a Hispanic household, in a Latino household, and Laura, maybe you can vouch for me here, or maybe not. I think that, you know, this is like a song that is part of your childhood, right? Is that fair to say?
100%. You always blasted that around December, Christmas for sure.
100%.
I don't understand why this song has yet to hit the top 10. I think we should make that our mission. Why shouldn't that song be a top 10 song?
Yeah, I don't know. Laura, why do you think? Do you think it's just because it's in Spanish or part of it is in Spanish?
I think that has a lot to do with it. But also I think Jorge had a point that it's a little slow. So I think because you mentioned that Mariah Carey is cute, right? And, I mean, Latinos, we get hated on a little bit. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Huh. Yeah, I do think that's part of it. I think that the language barrier kind of makes people uncomfortable, even though he does sing it in English, too, during the song.
But hold up, though. But La Bamba hit number 1, and that was all in Spanish.
But Richie Valens also had other songs that were in English. Jose Feliciano does not have very many other songs in English. If any at all, to be honest with you.
I'm going to fight for Feliz Navidad.
You should.
I'm going to make that my
mission.
We're
going to need your help because clearly we can't do it.
Agreed.
You know? I mean, that's just the reality of it. So speaking of needing your help, do we need help to settle this Kyrie LeBron thing? So for those that don't remember, during the NBA Finals, Kyrie did Kevin Durant's podcast. And during that podcast, he made some comment, and I'm paraphrasing, which was basically, you know, having Kevin Durant on my team is going to be awesome because I've never had a mother bleeper that can win the game like me on my team before. That basically, LZ, that's what he said, correct?
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Much.
And I know he used the word mother bleeper in there because we had to bleep it out back then. Right. So LeBron, part 2 of the Road Tripping podcast. Remember, we had Ali on last week and Richard Jefferson who interviewed LeBron. So the part 2 ran or is out, and I believe it runs today on Spectrum. if I recall correctly. Maybe it ran yesterday. I don't know. But I know the podcast version was out yesterday. And LeBron was asked about that Kyrie situation. And here's what he said.
When I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to, one, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people, send me the whole transcript. And I heard he had did it on Katie's podcast. And I was a little like, damn. Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I hit game winning shots on my whole life. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because you were there for a couple seasons. I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. Mm-hmm. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
Listen, I believe that he's hurt by it, but I also will say this. Do you believe, because I do, I mean, I don't think LeBron is naive to think that he doesn't realize Kyrie and him didn't always get along. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that Kyrie has made that fairly obvious, right? I believe over time. But I guess that direct shot feels and maybe hits different. Is that a fair way to describe it?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Kyrie. Not LeBron, but with Kyrie. I just don't understand him. I don't get it. There are moments, George, in which I am bored by him. And when I say I'm bored by him, it's because he obviously is trying to come across as if he's this super intellectual who thinks on levels that none of us can comprehend. When really, a lot of times, he just sounds like an idiot and he's not aware of it. So I don't know what to do with Kyrie's comments about LeBron because the source is so questionable to me. But I do know this. There's not really a stat Kyrie can turn to validate his statements about LeBron in the clutch. I do know that because I looked it up and I wrote a column about it. And I can't find a stat in the regular season or the postseason to support the notion that Kyrie should have been taking that last minute shot over LeBron James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
like there's nothing to support that. And now when you look on the internet and the Googles, you have NBA writers letting you know that KD is not as good as LeBron James in the clutch either. So when I say I don't know, George, it's because Kyrie talks out of all three sides of his mouth sometimes. And so it's really hard for me to take what he talks about on topics like this seriously because I don't really think he puts much thought into it. I think sometimes he just be talking.
He does just talk a lot. I don't think there's any question. But that is not just talking there. That was not a veiled shot. So I can understand
it was an attack.
It was a targeted attack.
Yeah, but it was like based on what? Because it's not based on facts. So it's based on what? Some reporter asked you once upon a time LeBron James a parental figure and you're still mad about it? Mm-hmm. Like what? Like what is it that makes you so upset? Because you didn't get to the postseason before LeBron James. And when you forced your way out of Cleveland to Boston, you've been in exactly 9 postseason games total. 9.
Right.
Since you've left LeBron.
Right. And so you haven't gotten to the conference. I mean, your team got to the conference finals, but without you.
But without you. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You were watching. So right. I'm trying to figure out where is all this coming from.
I think it's just that. I just think, look, he hated being the little brother, right? I mean, I think that part is a little relatable. But here's the thing, to your point, you also have to have some self-awareness. But are we asking maybe too much of Kyrie Irving to have self-awareness just based on, and I don't know him personally, so I don't want to psychoanalyze him necessarily, but I could, you know, I'm drawing conclusions just based off what his public persona has been.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he was just trying to make KD feel good and maybe he's smart enough to know that KD is sensitive to criticism as well and just
there
wanting
is
him
that.
To know.
There is
you know,
that. Yeah.
That I believe you're the best, you know, kind of proclamation. But at the same time, there's no reason to trash easily the best player of the past 10 years, if not more, just so that your current teammate can feel better about himself. Like, there's no reason to do that. You know, so I don't know what happened between him and LeBron. I just know the more he talks, the worse he looks. The worse he looks. You know, Kyrie doesn't take responsibility for much of anything. It's always someone else's fault. You know, LeBron's fault, the media's fault. People give him credit for hitting, you know, the shot in the finals in game 7. And don't get me wrong, it was a huge shot. But if you really remember that game, he almost tricked the game off after he made the shot. Almost lost the ball right out of bounds. And they were only up 2. Or were they up 3? No, they were up 3.
3.
So it was still very much a game. It was one possession game, and he literally almost tricked it off like on the next possession. So it's like, I get it. You know, you got great handles. You're a hell of a scorer. You're a really fun basketball player to watch. But I don't understand why you keep coming for Bron's head like this when you've done nothing but win with him and only done nothing but lose or come up short without him.
Yeah, look, I just think this is Kyrie being Kyrie. And I think LeBron, to be honest with you, handled this perfectly. Because he took the high road there when you heard that comment, right? There's no question that was the case.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't go off. He didn't immediately respond. Probably because he was busy playing in the finals.
Playing in the finals.
Again, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I was busy in the finals again. Where were you? Oh, not in the finals again.
Right.
So, I mean...
Yeah.
And as part of the thing is like, why bother?
Yeah, yeah. So look, let's ask Kendrick Perkins about this. He was on those teams. He's going to join us in 3 minutes. Back in a moment.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN, don't forget, Santa Key is coming to town.
Yeah.
And that'll happen between 6:30 and 7 today, LZ. I'm going to give the audience a little heads up. If you want to pick from the 7:10 stocking, get some Lakers goodies and gifts, it's going to happen between 6:30 and 7. So Kendrick Perkins is supposed to join us. We're efforting to find him. That's probably the best way to describe it. In the interim, LZ, before we get to him and discuss the whole LeBron-Kyrie dynamic, because I'm sure he has plenty to say about that. Houston still has a problem. I don't know if you realize this. And
lots of problems.
Yeah.
First of all, they're in Texas.
The James Harden stuff is interesting. Laura, I know we have some Steven Silas sound, the Rockets head coach. Let me know when that's there. It's there already. So here's what – and this is what you and I talked about yesterday, LZ. I feel like James Harden is really putting a young first-time coach – in a real predicament here. And now he has finally reported to Houston, but his absence was already a setback because, you know, this is an abbreviated start to the season. So here's what Steven Silas said.
As far as timetable, there is no timetable as far as I know. And it is a setback. You know, you want your best player to be here. There is a short window, as you've alluded to. As I said yesterday, we're working as if this is the 6th to the 23rd. So there is some time, but it is a setback. Yeah, I have to be honest and understand that this is a setback, not having one of the best players in the NBA here.
Yeah, of course it's a huge problem for him. I mean, what you mean not having a top 5 or 6 player in the NBA on your team when you're a first-time head coach is going to be a problem? Yeah, of course it's going to be a problem.
But it's not just the fact that he's not here. It's also the fact that he's in Vegas in strip clubs. And if you're a new head coach, a young new head coach, and you're trying to make your mark in this league, and leadership for the first time, that just is not a great way to start. And this is the reason why I was so down on James last night or yesterday during our show, George, is because this isn't just about you. You're claiming to be about something bigger than you. You're out there talking about Black Lives Matter and social justice and opportunities and all this stuff. And here's this young brother that finally get a chance to be a head coach in the NBA, and you're trashing and crapping all of his first couple of days, forcing him not to talk about his vision for the future, not to talk about, you know, the road he came up or what he learned from his dad, who was Paul Seiler, a great NBA player and coach. None of that. No, he's got to ask. He's got to answer questions about your ass being in a strip club because you think you should be in Brooklyn or maybe Philadelphia or anywhere but Houston because you want to have an opportunity to play for a championship. Even though Houston has brought you several Hall of Famers to help you get to that championship. Chris Paul, Dwight Howard, Russell Westbrook. All three of those dudes are probably first ballot Hall of Famers, George. Multiple All-Stars between them. Tens of millions of dollars. If you pull it back even a step further, Westbrook's been to a final, and Dwight Howard's led a team to a finals. So they've actually have been there to the finals as well. And what did you do with those dudes?
Right.
What did you do with those teams? And now you want to crap all over this young brother's career before it gets started because you're upset with the way things are going in Houston when you've been the mainstay. They've been rotating teams around you, bruh. It's a trip, dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's a trip. He's talking about he wants a fair opportunity to play for a championship. And they gave him Dwight. And when that didn't work out, they gave him Chris Paul. And when that didn't work out, they gave him Westbrook. I'm laughing because when you say it out loud,
yeah,
it sounds hilarious.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like,
yeah. Yeah. It is one of these deals where he doesn't, you know, he should take more onus, you know, in regards to the failings of those particular teams. Right. And I, you know, all we do is get rotating casts around him. Yeah.
Around him. Meanwhile, you look, Dwight Howard left you. Now, obviously, he had a rough time for years and years, but he ended up with the championship because he sucked it up and did the things he needed to do in order to win a chip. Chris Paul leaves you and gets MVP votes again. Westbrook leaves you. No one thought anything bad about Westbrook before he got there. He leaves, immediately shows up to his new team, and is already loved. Already loved. Brooks is happy. You know, Beal is happy. Washington wants to, like, throw a parade after the inauguration in D.C. because they're so happy. Meanwhile, you're in a strip club throwing up dollars with no mask on during the pandemic talking about, I need to be with a championship-caliber team.
Right.
You look ridiculous, dog.
Right. You're supposed to be the reason they're a championship team.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what the hell happened?
This isn't LeBron and right. Cleveland trying to make it work with Larry Hughes.
Yeah.
They gave you Chris Paul and, right. and Russell Westbrook and Dwight Howard in his prime.
And by the way, you were a hamstring away, right, from getting to the NBA Finals. Like, you were in Game 7 against arguably the greatest team we've ever seen assembled.
Yes.
And you jettisoned Chris Paul.
You jettisoned Chris Paul after you laid an egg your own damn self.
Right.
It's not like he balled out in Game 7 because Chris couldn't go. It's not like he said, Chris is not available. Let me drop 50 real quick on 24 shots.
Yeah.
He didn't do that.
No. Insane. Is James Harden, LZ, before we go to break, and I'd love to hear from the audience at 877-710-ESPN. Like, who is the most difficult player in the NBA to root for? Save your answer. I want you to say it on the other side, because we've discussed two already in the first two segments today. Plus, we have an amazing movie anniversary that we'll get to. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So there is Mariah. Is Mariah and this song, All I Want for Christmas Is You, better than Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano?
There is a poll up, George, my friend.
Is now, there?
It's early. Okay. Yes, it's early.
Okay.
Here's the question. Yo, ESPN LA, All I Want for Christmas is currently number 2 on the charts. Feliz Navidad has never cracked the top 10. Is this wrong? Your choices are yes, it's a great song. No, Mariah is fire. 3, I don't like either. Yes, it's a great song is leading comfortably by 45%.
I have 46.8, actually.
Oh, wow. Look at that. Even faster.
Yeah.
But, you know, No Mariah's Fire is pretty close at 47%. Nope. Down to 36% now. And then I don't like either. It's almost at 20%, which I need to know who these Scrooges are.
Yeah, that's 70%.
You need to like one of those two.
But, you know, this is the world we live in, right? Where, you know, there are going to be a sect of people that are not thrilled about anything, that are hard to please.
I mean, how do you like not either? On purpose,
right?
Like, what are the other great Christmas songs? You know, there's, you know, of course, there's the Temptations versions of a few songs. There's what else you got, George? I guess we can go Michael Bublé, but I think that's like just eating like a mayo sandwich. What did you say, Laura?
Silent Night.
Yeah, it's like Silent Night by like the Temptations or Boyz II Men is pretty good. Let It Snow by Boyz II Men is an awesome Christmas song, but it's not like a classic. But like, how do you not like this song or Feliz Navidad? I don't understand. What other attitude or energy is there besides that's not one of those two songs when it comes to Christmas?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, we could ask the audience at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You know, I think look, you can listen to, is it KL, which is the Coast, right? KOST is the station, I believe, that goes all Christmas in LA. And look, there's a lot of different, you know, Christmas type songs, right? Like Mariah is the more contemporary, right? Then you have, you know, you got Jose Feliciano because you've got like the, you know, ethnic version there, right? Then you have the traditional stuff. Like, I mean, you can go old timey. Like, what's the most old timey Christmas song?
Like that Bing Crosby or not?
Right. Bing Crosby is a perfect example. Yes. So it's just like, it's a wide range, you know, Christmas music.
Could you turn this up a little bit? Yeah. George, my man, you missed me when I was straight, dog. I used to roll it up with this song.
That's funny. That's funny.
You better be lucky I went to the other side. You wouldn't have been able to get nobody. Nobody.
So, LZ, let me ask you the question again that I asked you, and I'd love to hear from the audience at 877-710-ESPN. Who is the hardest player in the NBA to root for? Just based on, you know, we were talking about Kyrie and some of the issues. We're talking about James Harden. Like, is it one of those two, or is it someone else that we haven't discussed today? Because both those guys are in the news, so it makes it easy to talk about them. But it did kind of dawn on me, they're both kind of challenging to root for.
They are, though I don't know if they can overcome Duke-ness. Like, Duke NBA players, generally speaking, are just hard to root for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Grant Hill I could root for. Elton Brand I could root for. Corey Maggette.
I mean, Grant Hill, obviously, one of the nicest.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's my first one.
Oh, Grant, right. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
So Grant I can root for. Corey Maggette I can root for. Elton Brand I can root for. But after that, it starts getting a little dicey, man.
Yeah.
So with that being said, Grayson Allen's number one.
J.J. Redick? I like J.J. Redick.
I like J.J.
But I know I know there are people that don't like J.J. Redick, like fans, right?
True. Mm-hmm. No, I do like J.J.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Grayson Allen.
Is the hardest guy to root for? So it has, because of the double Duke and dirty play.
The double Duke and dirty play. I want every single time he shoots the ball, I'm saying to myself, miss. I don't care if it's a blowout. I don't care if it's a one-point game in the fourth.
But in the NBA, he's such an insignificant player. You know what I mean? Like,
every time I see him, I just think about all the times he got away with just dirty play. Yeah. And I just wanted him once to roll up on the wrong dude. But he was already, maybe because he goes to Duke, he was too smart to roll up on the wrong dude.
So, Laura, is there a guy in the league that you just look at him and you just like roll your eyes? He's just really hard to root for?
Should I really answer this question?
No, I want to hear who it is.
LeBron.
What? No way.
You guys know I'm not.
I know you're not the biggest fan, but he just won you a championship, for God's sake.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I loved it. he's the player that I love to hate, if that makes sense.
Right.
So that's why I always like, whatever. Mm. That's what I said. Do you guys want me to answer honestly?
No, I want you to always be honest. Like, I want that to be the case. LZ, you were very quiet during that. What
I just picked myself up off the ground. I'd fallen out when she said that.
It's consistent. She has been consistent on this.
This is true. This is true. I guess it's because there is a point in which you get tired of rooting for people who are always winning or who like always seems to be there. You know, like, I get maybe that aspect of it. It's just hard for me to root against LeBron because I just know what he's been through.
Right.
You know, right. Homelessness, mother, you know, was in prison, didn't grow up with a father. Like, this, the way he is now should not be the way he was supposed to be based upon the stereotypes. So the simple fact that he truly went against the odds and has made it, not just made it, but has, you know, freaking thrived. It's hard for me to root against him because of that history.
Yeah. No, I get it. But Laura's been consistent in that. Let's go to Steve in L.A. Steve in L.A. has a guy. Go ahead, Steve.
This one's easy. Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a guy. No doubt about it.
Why?
Yeah. Well, first of all, he's arrogant. He's smug. He's a non-athletic 6-foot guard who's never won big games. He rubs a lot of people in the league a wrong way. Should I continue or what?
I mean, I don't think he's non-athletic. I actually feel like just because he plays like a traditional point guard, that feels like you're counting, you know, that against him. I would say his ability the smug, okay. I mean, you don't like that. I mean, I like that. I actually like guys with an attitude. You could say that he – you know, I can tell you he definitely rubs people the wrong way because he plays borderline dirty occasionally, right? Like, he will get right up in you. He is not giving you an inch. I can see where that rubs people the wrong way. I'm not dismissing it. I'm just curious as to what your reasons were.
And also, he's a jerk on top of that, and he's never won.
Why is he a jerk? Like, what are you saying he's a jerk? Like, a jerk personally? Like, you've been around him?
Yeah. Well, not me, but from the players who talked about him. Yes, absolutely.
No, here's what he is. I will defend Chris Paul a little bit, Steven. Thank you for the call. I will defend Chris Paul. Is he a jerk? Maybe. But you know what he is? He's a hard ass. Like, he wants you to do things right. And his bedside manner may not be great. But I don't have a problem with people like that. Because at least you know where you stand, right?
No, I agree with you.
All right, you know what? Save it for the other side. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We got more people chiming in at 877-710-ESPN. We'll continue taking your calls on that. Who is the most challenging player in the NBA to root for? So we'll get to that. We got what you need to know. Plus, LeBron makes a bold proclamation. We'll tell you what that is in 3 minutes. But first, I got to tell you about my friend Jacob and Ronnie. You know what it's like. Bronny, we're going to have to skip Jacob and Ronnie, though, because my computer just froze, and I won't be able to read Jacob and Ronnie. So we're going to have to do that in just a few moments. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What you need to know is brought to you by Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. LZ, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.'s fight drew crazy pay-per-view numbers. They had, now, hold on. They generated over $80 million with 1.6 million pay-per-view buys. Are you surprised at that number?
No.
Really?
Not at all.
It was an exhibition.
No, it was Mike Tyson.
I guess.
I don't understand. I've been trying to get this through your head since it was announced, man. Mike Tyson's not an athlete. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson is a culture.
Right.
It's a cultural phenomenon. He's like Cher. He's like Cats on Broadway. Yeah. That doesn't age out.
Right. No, okay. Fair enough. I just still thought that two old dudes going at it for an exhibition wasn't going to draw people. But, yeah, I mean, listen, the Tyson phenomenon has always been a big thing. I questioned if it was worthy of a draw this time around, but clearly that has been disproven or proven that it is a draw. So there it is. Last thing for you here, because we did the Logan Paul Floyd Mayweather stuff yesterday, so my apologies. I have that. Bronny, you and I talked about that. I didn't remember we did that yesterday. But we do have UCLA news. So they have, obviously, Under Armour got out of business with UCLA. They used their force majeure clause to get them out of business with UCLA for their gear and whatnot. But UCLA is going Jordan brand, which honestly is what it should have been, right? Like that, right. That marriage makes a lot of sense, particularly because of what UCLA excels at in sports.
Exactly, George. And like, I get it. Somebody throws a bunch of money at you and you know, you see the dollar signs and you think no matter what, your brand can overcome it. But Under Armour shoes are like nurses' shoes, dog. You can't overcome that.
Right. Yeah. they're not good-looking shoes. I would agree with that.
No, so, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm with you on that. All right. That is what you need to know, brought to you by our friends at Morongo. Play it safe. Good times. So you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, Sedano and LZ with you, and our pal Kendrick Perkins is here. You can check him out on The Jump, on Hoop Streams, and of course, make sure you follow him on Twitter because he is one of the best, if not the best, follow on NBA Twitter. Hashtag carry on. So, Perk, thank you for joining us, man. So, look, Kyrie, for those that don't know, I want to fill in the audience real quick. Kyrie, back during the NBA Finals, was on Kevin Durant's podcast and was excited about Kevin being on the team with him and made the statement, and I'm paraphrasing, that it's great to have Kevin on the team because now I got another, quote, mother bleeper on this team that can close out the games. And I felt like, clearly, at the time, we all felt that was a shot at LeBron. LeBron did not address it at the time because he was busy playing in the finals, but now has since addressed it. And Laura, if you have that sound that we can play for the audience. So LeBron was on the Road Tripping podcast with our pals Ali Clifton, Richard Jefferson, and Channing Frye, and addressed the Kyrie situation that we'll ask Perk about here in a second. Here is LeBron.
When I heard the comment that Kyrie made, I wanted to, one, not only find the whole transcript, but also call my people, send me the whole transcript. And I heard he had did it on KD's podcast. And I was a little like, damn. Once I got the whole transcript, I was like, damn. You know, I wasn't like, oh, you tripping. I hit game-winning shots. I was not like that. I was like, damn, because you were there for a couple seasons. I mean, I played with Kyrie for 3 seasons. The whole time while I was there, I only wanted to see him be an MVP of our league. I only cared about his success. And it just didn't align. Yeah. It just didn't align. And we was able to win a championship.
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. We were still able to win a championship and we could never align, but I only cared about his well-being, both on and off the floor. And it kind of hurt me a little bit.
So, Perk, you played on those teams. You were teammates with those guys. How did you receive not only what Kyrie said at the time, but how LeBron handled it?
Well, first of all, George, I feel like Bron took the high road, right? Because he could have said so many other things, but he always take the high road when it comes to Kyrie, and he always make Kyrie look dumb when he do it. I don't know if Bron doing it on purpose or what, but when he takes the high road, he makes Kyrie look crazy. I mean, because I was there the first season that they went to the finals, and I could honestly say that LeBron didn't do nothing but try to carry and show the way and lead by example. And he also deferred to Kyrie a lot. Like, here, take over. Here, here you go, you're a problem. Handle your business. Like, you know, he wanted Kyrie to be successful. By the way, Kyrie never sniffed the playoffs. He was always in the lottery till LeBron James got there, but we always have a short-term memory. But, you know, I found it strange that Kyrie went on KD's podcast. KD had to give the okay to release the sound, and you release the sound right when LeBron is on the verge of winning his fourth NBA title. It's just crazy to me, right? So the two guys that, you know, have, you know, the most say, the always got something to say towards the media, you know, really like, do they have this hidden agenda against LeBron? And then all of a sudden they drop a podcast with Kyrie sound saying this ridiculous statement right when LeBron was on the verge of winning his fourth NBA title. It's crazy to me.
It is crazy to me, but I've gotten used to crazy coming from Kyrie. And, you know, I don't want to trash the young man because, you know, what is he, like 27, 28 now? You know, he's still figuring stuff out still. But I just don't understand why he continues to purposely put himself in this position. Does he think of himself as, like, better than other people, Perk, or is he just kind of like in his own little head, is not really thinking about what his words are going to mean once he say them?
I mean, it's to me, it's like he's almost like I'm just Kyrie. Like he want to be different. Like it's all of a sudden, like if he don't have the attention on him, or you know, if the focus somewhere he don't want it to be, he got to do something, whether it's crazy or not. He got to do something to catch the limelight, and he does it every single time. Just like when the players agreed to going back to playing to the NBA bubble, Kyrie initially agreed to it, and then all of a sudden when the NBA told him that, hey, no, if you're not playing, we can't afford for teams to take extra bodies just to be around, all of a sudden he was like, then we need to, you know, a week later is all of a sudden is that, oh, a lot of guys feel like we shouldn't be playing in this bubble anyway. Let's cancel the season. It's like, here you go again, just starting up confusion, like all the time. Just got a problem.
Yeah, there's definitely that. And Perk, let me just ask you one last thing about Kyrie, and then we can move on and talk about other stuff. There's plenty of other stuff to talk about. You know, when you were his teammate during that time, did you get the sense that it bugged him? Like the stuff that he, you know, that LeBron bugged him, right? Like the just LeBron's presence bothered him while you guys were teammates.
Well, a little bit. I mean, because he wasn't a guy that, you know, if we had team dinners, Bron would hit everybody, get reservations. You know, he wanted us to really coexist off the court also. And Kyrie, majority of the times, he wouldn't show up. He was off doing his own thing, or he just wouldn't show up. And so, you know, it was times that Bron didn't go through shoot around or whatever the case may be. And look, let me tell y'all something. I played with nothing but Hall of Famers, right? Nothing but Hall of Famers. I was fortunate to play with a lot of great players. And a lot of great players, they got the special treatment. It just comes with it. KG got special treatment. Paul got special treatment. Ray got special treatment. KD, Russ, everybody got special treatment. And rightfully so. If you're the franchise guy and you're a superstar, you're going to get special privileges that no one else could get. And I think Kyrie started having a little urge of jealousy when he started seeing LeBron get these special privileges. But, you know, I just don't know. Like, a Robin can't get the same privileges as a Batman. It's just what it is.
I mean, you can get inside the Justice League and, you know, push some buttons, but you can't drive the Batmobile. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Right.
When, you know, let's shift gears for a second, because there's another person out there doing a lot of chit-chatting, or not even chit-chatting, just behaving in a non-leadership way, and that's James Harden. I've made little bones about the fact that I do not like what he's doing. At all,
right.
Particularly to this young brother who just got the job. I'm curious, do other NBA players see what James Harden is doing as a bad thing, or do they think he needs to do this in order to get out of Houston?
Well, first of all, I don't know what others are looking at, but I'm going to tell you what I see, and it is a bad thing. Is it bad that he's asking for a trade? No. But it's bad on how he's handled it, and he's wrong in so many areas. One, you know, why would you treat, you know, Coach Silas like this? You know, you wouldn't treat Phil Jackson this way. You know, give him the same respect and show up to work. Two, like I said, it's your job. It's your job, man. Like, you're getting paid, right, to show up $38 million a year to show up to work. So what if you don't want to be there? Anthony Davis asked out of New Orleans. He still showed up to work every day. And here's the last thing that bothers me. Guys before our time, like my generation, even James Harden, I put us all in the same category, although I'm retired, but guys like Barkley and Jordan and Bird and Magic, like these guys were getting $1 or $2 million, max $3 million a year. And they built this bridge for this generation to get paid the way that we're getting paid today, right? They paved the way. And sometimes the way that these guys and current players be acting is almost like they're burning the bridge down for the future generation that's coming up. And it's just not right. Like, you're not doing things. You're only being selfish, because what's going to happen is, guess what? The owners are going to go to the next CBA, and they're going to have so many rules about what happened. They're going to probably call it the James Harden rule or something to that nature, all because how he's conducting himself right now. And I don't agree with it.
Kendrick Perkins hanging out with us here. Of course, ESPN analyst. Check him out on The Jump on Hoop Streams and follow him on Twitter at Kendrick Perkins. So, Perk, where do you think James Harden ends up? Like, if you had to pick a spot, like, where? I don't think it's going to be Brooklyn, but would you trade Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid for him?
Well, here's the thing right now, George, is that, guess what? Houston don't have leverage, and it's all because of James Harden. Think about it. 3 weeks ago, Daryl Morey probably would have packaged up Ben Simmons and a pick or a couple of picks for James Harden or whatever. Now, they don't have to do that. He right. don't have to package up Ben Simmons. So, I don't know what James Harden is going to end up, to be honest, but it's like you're forcing their hand. Houston already is, you know, Timmy Fertitta is already saying he's not just going to give you up. Now, I think a trade that do make sense that no one's talking about is that if I'm the Clippers, if I'm Lawrence Frank, I would have been picked up the phone to see if they was interested in doing a swap for Paul George and something else. But I don't,
gone.
You know, like, that makes
done,
a lot
Perk.
Of sense to me.
Done. I'm sending him myself. Good move, brother. That's good. I'm 1,000,000,000% with you. In fact, I'm so with you. I can already hear Paul George tell me he always wanted to be a Houston Rocket his whole life, and that is where he's going to stay.
Right. Just, you know, I don't know where he ends up at, but I'm like, the way that he's doing it right now is just so ugly. I don't know, like, after not showing up, to me, it's disrespectful to the team, your teammates. Although they may come out in the media and say the right things. Like, when you come back in the locker room, how they gonna feel? Like, what, you don't want to play with us? You don't have faith in us? Like, even Coach Silas, how do you feel knowing that this guy don't want to give you a chance? Forget that you've been around for 20-plus years. But he don't want to give me a chance, and it's just sad. It's sad the way he's going about it.
No doubt. Kendrick Perkins, again, check him out on The Jump. Check him out on Hoop Streams. Check him out on Twitter. Perk, you're the man, brother. Thank you so much for hanging out with us and taking the time, as always. Appreciate it.
Anytime. I appreciate y'all having me on. Thank y'all.
All right, man.
Thanks, brother.
There he is. Kendrick Perkins, our pal, joining us there. All right, coming up next, LZ, we actually didn't – there was one thing we didn't get to with Perk, which is LeBron made a proclamation, one that Laker fans, I'm sure, will be interested in because it includes them. 877-710-ESPN, if you still want to weigh in on who is the most challenging player in the NBA to root for. I know we had a full board of calls before Perk, so if you want to get back in, we can do that. Plus, a big anniversary in movie history. All that coming up in 3 minutes.